Well, here's a statistic candidates might consider. On any given night, there are an estimated 47,000 veterans who do not have a house, apartment, or shelter to call home. Lots of factors drive up the rate of homelessness for veterans. But in Kansas City, Missouri, three of them, entrepreneurs, have come up with a novel solution. From Here and Now contributor KCUR, Frank Morris reports.
Down a working-class street in Kansas City, Missouri, with inexpensive apartments on one side and a self-storage business on the other, Kevin Jameson stands gazing at a sloping field of grass and trees.
We're looking at four wonderful acres because it's not the land, but what's going to be done with the land.
Jameson, along with his partners in the Veterans Community Project, spent $500 for this land, bought it from the city land bank. They plan to fill it with 45 or 50 little tiny houses. You've seen these things, compressed miniature homes. Jameson intends to make them available for free to homeless veterans. So far, there's one. It looks like a largish blue garden shed from the outside. But step in the door, and it's really quite homey.
This is the bed here, with the bathroom in there, with a shower, and there's a water heater in here. This is the kitchen.
Jameson was in the Marine Corps, and working with homeless veterans these last couple of years, he started to notice that homeless shelters weren't working for everybody. In fact, there was one fella in particular.
We designed this program for guys like White Hawk. White Hawk. It's his street name, White Hawk.
I'm White Hawk.
White Hawk.
White Hawk, yes.
White Hawk gets around on crutches. He's got a bushy white beard and blue-gray eyes. He served in the Army in Germany during the Cold War.
I'm eating on food stamps. I don't have any income coming in. I fly a sign once in a while, a panhandle.
White Hawk's been homeless since 2009, when he got out of prison. He says the felony on his record makes it hard to get a job, but he's a great candidate for a spot in a homeless shelter, except for a couple of things. For one, he's not alone.
I've got nine cats. Three of them really ain't mine. Six really is mine. We got kittens, too.
Homeless shelters typically don't allow dogs and cats, let alone a room full of them. Lots of veterans have pets and are fiercely devoted to them, so the pet ban keeps some homeless people on the street. The other thing about White Hawk, and apparently lots of people in his situation, he just doesn't much mind being homeless.
I'm pretty much set up right now. I got most of the tarps I need to keep the weather off. I got a tent underneath. You know, I got a bed and I heat it with candles.
He heats his place with candles. It sounds like a rough life, right? But at this point, Jerry, White Hawk's friend, here to look at the tiny house with him, chimes in.
Society has rules, and we like to be free.
Jerry's been living in a homeless camp in the woods near White Hawk for years, away from the tension of homeless shelters or broader societal expectations.
I don't like to deal with headaches, you know, and being in society is a headache.
The fact that some vets would rather be homeless than live in a shelter comes as no shock to Chris Stout.
Isolation is a huge thing, and reintegration is tough. The reality is probably most of them are on the streets so they can maintain that isolation, and we realize it.
Stout, an Army vet, works professionally with the homeless and was Jameson's first partner in the Veterans Community Project.
So we want to bring him in and teach him those soft skills and help him reintegrate. You know, we want to help set up some structure for these guys because they understand structure better than anybody.
And Stout says pets will absolutely be allowed in these houses. If one of the units gets completely trashed, they can replace it for less than $10,000. Living in the houses will also be free, even if a veteran has some income, and that's not always the case. Stout, Jameson, and their other partner, Navy reservist Mark Solomon, celebrated the progress they've made over the last few months with a ribbon cutting. Citizens and private sector organizations put up all the money for the project so far, with the United Auto Workers donating the most. City Councilwoman Teresa Lohr, who had the idea to use tiny houses in the first place, says that if this Veterans Village development works in Kansas City, it'll probably be a national model.
We went to a number of veterans organizations in Washington, D.C., and they are watching to see if this works. So I think we are, in fact, on the cutting edge here.
Missouri Congressman Emanuel Cleaver is already squarely on board. He sits on the House Subcommittee on Housing and Insurance and says that he intends to get the secretaries of both the VA and HUD to come out and take a look.
The federal government can't afford to be the taillights on a project like this. We need to be there out front.
But no one can force veterans to take advantage of the tiny houses, and White Hawk is still making up his mind.
Yeah, I'll have to give it some thought.
Organizers don't expect other veterans to be so hard to convince. They intend to have people living in furnished tiny houses in their veterans' village with AC, heat, and running water by the end of summer. For Here and Now, I'm Frank Morris in Kansas City.